Hi, my name is Eli Paris. It is February 4th, 2013. We are in the Knight Library.
And I'm Jeremy Nadell. And you are?
Ray McPadden.
All right, Ray. Which branch of service did you serve in?
The Army.
The Army, all right. When was your period of enlistment?
It's like right at the beginning of 2005, like January 1st.
And when did you end your enlistment?
2010.
What was your main MOS?
Infantry.
And where are you from originally?
South Texas.
Okay. All right. So how did you decide to join the Army originally?
Let's see.
Or did you decide? Was it a...
No. I definitely wanted to. My dad was in the military. He was in the Navy, though.
Oh, okay.
So I was always kind of, like, interested in it. You know, I thought it's a good life.
Did he motivate you to join, or was that your own?
I think it was pretty much my own thing, yeah. All right. And then, you know, like September 11th happened, and I was like, I wanted to get in a fight, so.
Oh, okay, so you joined right after?
I went, pretty much. That was when I went the ROTC route in school. I was already in college, right? And I was in the Corps of Cadets, but the Corps of Cadets, you don't have to join the Army.
Is that kind of like ROTC?
Yeah, in a sense, yeah. So you can just be in the Corps of Cadets and graduate and just go out and be a normal civilian, or you can go the military route. So right after September 11th, I was like, I went the military route.
Where are the Corps of Cadets?
Where is
that?
Oh, it's at Texas A&M. Ah. Yeah. So
is
it just
that A&M, or is it like...
Yeah, it's an A&M thing, yeah. Yeah. So it's like a giant... ROTC kind of program, sort of.
So, how long was it in between your Corps cadet, and then from the moment that you actually joined and went into actual boot camp or training camp?
I graduated and I was in the infantry officer's course, like within a few weeks.
All right.
Yeah.
So what rank did you start with?
Lieutenant, like second lieutenant. You know, it's like the first officer rank. Yeah. Where you usually start.
So what do you think of a boot camp or your training equivalent?
It was good. Yeah, it was good. So the infantry, I don't know if you guys are like that familiar, if you guys cover any of that shit in class, but...
Not too much.
The infantry is like the shit you see in the movies, right? That's like the dudes like shooting each other and like running around in the woods and like fighting, right? So that's what the training really was you spend a lot of time in the woods and like living out of a backpack and stuff like that. So it was pretty cool, you know, for like a young dude. It's like a young man's game, right?
Yeah,
so like,
gotta be in
you
shape.
Know, it's hard. Yeah, it's hard when you get a little bit older. Like it'll just break you off, man. Knees hurt and your back hurt all the time.
Where was your first boot camp or training?
Fort Benning, Georgia. Yeah, it's like just right on the Georgia-Alabama border.
Okay.
It's a miserable place. Yeah.
How long were you in boot camp for?
I was in the... Like, I was at Fort Benning for training for a while. Like, I went to the infantry course and then, like, ranger school and airborne school. Like, all kind of, like, right in a row.
Oh, okay.
So I was there for a while. I don't remember how long.
Was that just, like, a package that they made you do, or did you choose, like, those...
Yeah,
kind
of thing? Yeah, you know, you have to go to the infantry course and then ranger school. That's all voluntary. But it's kind of, if you're going to be an infantry officer and you don't pass ranger school, you're kind of a bitch. So, like, you pretty much have to go.
Okay.
You know, it's voluntary, but you need to go.
How is a ranger school different than your beginning training in the school?
Oh, it was a lot more just of a beat down, you know. Yeah. A lot more intense. Like, the training, the initial training is, I mean, they really are kind of trying to train you to do a job, mm-hmm. you know, and then like ranger school is just like, it's still, there's a very much a deliberate point to everything going on, but there's a lot more like deprivation and starvation and like stress and sleep, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's kind of like, there's a lot of training, but it's also just kind of just this gut check, you know? So you get like the ranger tab, and it's like, it's a prestige thing too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like,
is there any specific part of ranger school that you remember still that was like incredibly significant?
It just stuck out at you.
Yeah, stuck out.
Man, everybody has like funny stories about like falling asleep and doing crazy shit, like of being, just completely like incoherent. But okay, now I got it. So like you could write letters, right? Home and stuff. I didn't really have much time to do that, but I wrote these letters to my wife and she kept them, you know? And it was like last year that she finally like showed them to me. And it was really funny to see that, because I was like, the shit I was like going on about, like I went on for like, you know, like 2 pages about like just like how we were gonna sleep together, not like sleep like sexually, but like just sleep, like in a comfortable bed with a blanket, and I went on about blankets and pillows for like half a page, and you know, I was so sleep deprived, it was crazy. So that's, I remember that letter.
Where was your first deployment?
Afghanistan. To the Korangal Valley, which is eastern Afghanistan, like right on the Pakistan border.
Okay. And so you were a lieutenant when you went into Afghanistan, first of all?
Yeah, I was a platoon leader.
Platoon leader. Yeah. So how many, what does that entail, and like how many men did you have
like under 40, your platoon? Or? Yeah, 40 guys. Okay. 40 guys, like Americans. And yeah. Then there was an Afghan army that was like, you know, kind of under my control, and there was like 30.
Oh, really?
There was like 30 of them, so there was like about 70 dudes that I was like responsible for.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was interesting for being 23 and being like out there in the middle of the mountains.
Did you start a lieutenant just for the pure fact that you went to the Corps cadet or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, essentially. I had a bachelor's degree, and I had been through all the kind of officer training, so that's why I got to be a lieutenant.
Okay.
That's generally how it works. You have to have a degree, and then
once
you have your degree, you go through like, kind of like officer training.
So under, because I know there's like O and E, like up to 10. So you started as an O.
O-1.
O-1. Yeah. Okay, that's what the O-1 is.
Yeah, so O-1 was like a lieutenant, and like an O-10 or whatever. I don't even know what it goes up to. Is like, you know, is like the general of like the entire army, you know, so.
So being a platoon leader, what was the day-to-day of being a platoon leader, your job?
It was like plan and execute missions, you know, like different kinds of missions. So we did kind of like hearts and minds stuff a little bit.
Hearts and, you know, minds. Maybe, what do you mean by that?
You know, like
kind of minds. Like, okay, I thought you said hearts and minds. Okay.
Yeah, like hearts and minds, right. So like, you know, kind of like win the people over.
Yeah.
And like be out there amongst the population, develop relationships and develop trust. And then, so that was maybe like a third of what we did. And the other 2/3 was just straight up close with and destroy the enemy, you know, like find them, kill them however you can, bombs, bullets, whatever. So that's kind of the 2 things we were doing.
So you had a lot of interaction with actual Afghanis then?
Yeah.
What was that like? Or
it was interesting. They were the part of Afghanistan we were is like in the Hindu Kush Mountains, which is the far western end of the Himalayas. You know, so it's like super intense mountains, and these people, the tribes that are out there, they're really like isolated. And they're like xenophobic, you know, so they're like really like, no, we don't like outsiders and you know, Americans and shit like that. So they're willing to kind of be cordial with you, because if they think they can make some money out of it, you know, because we're like just a big, just dollar sign. That's what they see when they look at you, you know. So they were cordial with you, but then, you know, essentially at night or whatever, so, you know, as soon as you turn their back, they're essentially fighting you or plotting to fight you somehow. So it was a really bad area. Yeah, where I was. I mean, that's not the whole country, but where I was, it was like everybody's bad.
Yeah, that wasn't near any major cities, was it? It just kind of in the countryside?
Yeah, it was. Okay. It was just like out there in the mountains, dude.
Wild west of Afghanistan.
Yeah. So there's definitely there's areas that are relatively modern, but that's not where I was the first time.
Okay. So you served in that, what was that valley called again?
The Korangal Valley. Yeah.
How long were you in the Korangal Valley?
Like 15 months. That was the deployment, yeah. So that was part of the, you know, the surge into Iraq, was going on at the same time, so they extended everybody. So it was supposed to be a year-long deployment, and they added another, you know, 3 months because, you know, it's all volunteer force, and we were trying to fight everybody at the same time, so...
So did you have any choice in your deployment, the 3 months added on, or were you just, you had
no,
to?
Yeah.
It's like you're already there type thing, we're not taking you.
Yeah, they were, no, I remember we were getting ready to go home, and like a call came over the radio, you know, we were, I think, scheduled to leave in like 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, and they're like, hey, guess what? Here's the deal, man. That was a pretty bad day, you know?
Yeah.
And as for, you know, me personally, like, as a person, you're like, dude, I just want to fucking just quit, you know? Just, like, throw my helmet, my gun down, and just be like, bah. But then you're in charge, you know, so you kind of have to keep a good attitude, and you know your dudes are going to react to it the same way you did, and you have to be like, it's all right. You know, so that sucked.
So do you have any, you know, what was your experience in leading men in that area? Was it an incredible challenge, or did you feel like you had a natural gift for leadership?
Oh, that would be pretentious, I think, to say that. But I feel like we had like a lot of casualties in our company, but whenever I was around and it was my mission, we never had anybody get killed. You know what I mean? But when it was when we did, there were certain things we did that I didn't really have a lot of control over what was going on. We had people get killed. But when it was my shit and I had control, nobody got killed. Not that nobody got wounded, but nobody got killed. So I felt like I did a pretty good job, you know, in terms of keeping guys alive.
So what was next for you? Where did you go after your 15 months in the valley?
I came back and went to the 2nd Ranger Battalion, kind of the Special Operations world, and just like that, went to Iraq. I was back for like, I don't know, like 5 months, and then I was in Iraq.
Did you end your first tour with an O-1 as well, or did you?
Did I what?
Did you end your first tour with your O-1? With
being no, I was like an O-2. I was thinking. Yeah, I was an O-2.
So did you end with controlling more men or having more duties, or did you pretty much just do the same?
Yeah, you kind of like stayed in your position. Yeah, and then so I stayed in that position, and then
What were some differences between serving in the 10th Mountain Division and then the Ranger Battalion?
Well, the Ranger Battalion is more of the Special Operations world. And it's all direct action missions, right? So it's like counterterrorism was the main job.
Mm-hmm.
So the traditional role of the Ranger Battalion is kind of like your shock troops, like your real invasion force for like seizing an airfield or like really high profile kind of stuff. So if you guys have seen Saving Private Ryan,
yeah,
that's the whole. They're the Rangers, so they're like the first, you know, the first ones on the beach and all that stuff. Anyway, so that's kind of what we were doing, like, all counterterrorism. So, like, when I was in the 10th Mountain Division, you were interacting with the populace. Like, you're out there living amongst them and trying to, like, stabilize shit and get people to chill out. And you're a mayor and a judge and a city councilman and, like, all these crazy roles, right? But then in the Rangers, you don't have to do any of that shit. You just go out at night and it's like playing a video game, you know what I'm saying? Like the first person shooter video games, like you're just like, they're like, bad guys here, like go get them. So the cool part is that you don't have to do any of this silly shit. Like you're just doing straight up hardcore stuff. But the scary part is that the people you're going after every night are like super bad. You know what I mean? Like you're not just dealing with like the local thugs, you know, that, you know, you're shooting back and forth and they suck generally. And,
right.
You know, so you're dealing with a much higher tier of enemy in the Ranger Battalions.
You say that they suck. Do you mean that? What do you mean by that?
Oh, they're shooting.
Oh.
Their aim.
Their aim.
Yeah. But generally, you know, they're, my respect for the enemy in Afghanistan and Iraq as fighters is very high.
Is that?
But their aim, not necessarily that good.
Is that mainly because you think just because they had AK-47s to M-15s, or?
Yeah, part of it's the weaponry, and then part of it's just cultural stuff too.
Yeah.
So there's like a I don't know, like, you know, this is a, my wife, she's Hispanic, and there's a, in the Hispanic culture, there's like machismo, you know, it's like, you know, be a man.
Right.
And so like part of being the machismo in Afghanistan and then in Iraq too, with the fighters was like, it's almost just like just spraying bullets is like, you know, it's just being badass, and being badass is like, kind of like standing up and doing crazy stuff that.
Standing in the
not necessarily like taking well aimed shots. It's more just like throwing down. You know, like who shot the most belts of ammo in the firefight? Yeah. And like that guy gets like he gets like that's you know stupid. Bragging rights. You know, so. But I'm not saying they can't hit anything. I'm just saying that you know if they were more prone to taking like really well aimed shots and doing like really kind of you know more of like a hardcore disciplined military force than. Yeah, they probably would have hurt us a lot worse.
But. If they had some better scopes and sights, because I know I've definitely shot an AK and an AR-15, and, like, the sights are way better on the M-15.
Yeah, absolutely. So the AKs, you know, the downside of the AK is it's, you know, the range. You know, so it's not as accurate once you get out past, say, 150 meters. Yeah. But the good side of the AK is when you hit people with a 7.62 round, they die.
Yeah.
You know, whereas you can hit people with a 5.56 round, you know, from our weapons, and a lot of times they just keep running or they keep shooting back. So,
okay.
So you were quickly in Iraq with the Rangers. How would you compare just being in Iraq to being in Afghanistan?
Oh yeah, night and day, man. So like where I was in. Afghanistan was like the Bible, you know. It was crazy, dude. Like it was 10,000 years ago, but it was just straight up fucking crazy. Like no civilization whatsoever. And then Iraq, like the first place I was in Baghdad, and Baghdad's like a giant city. There's like 5 million people, and it's like a real country, dude. Like Baghdad, you know, there's real, like there's discos and like liquor stores and like crazy stuff like that. So it was just like, it just blew me away to be like in the mountains and in the forest and like running around and on a real battlefield like you would envision from like World War II to being like in this giant swarming city of people. And so that was
so what was your mission in Iraq?
Counterterrorism. It was, there was a particular group that was like really bad, that we were kind of really targeting this particular group, like this cell of terrorists, you know? And so we were just like trying to knock everybody out of that cell. Like you would have, you know, your friends, you know, and then you have your group of friends, like your little circle. So like we picked you and your circle, and we were just trying to take out everybody in that circle. So that was our job.
So how long were you in Iraq or in Baghdad the first time, or if it was the first time?
Yeah, so that was like 4 months. We did a lot shorter tours in the Rangers. They were short tours. You were really busy. I mean, you'd go out like every single night, but they were short tours.
So. Were you just, like, stationed in Iraq, just stationed off a base, like, right outside of Baghdad, or...?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the base like when you were in Iraq?
It was really nice, yeah. It was really nice.
Compared to the Afghanistan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bigger, it was real nice, man.
Like, base, or...?
Yeah, it was a huge base. You know, that's one of the nice things, too, about, you know, Iraq is, again, because it is a more kind of second-world country that... You know, there's a lot more infrastructure and stuff like that. So there's a lot more cush things on the bases. And there was, we never got to enjoy it, but there was like a swimming pool at one of the bases, you know.
Yeah.
And this was in Tikrit, but, you know, so there'd be people hanging out at the pool and shit. And, you know, you're just like, you're not even in a war, dude. You're just hanging out, you know, fixing tires or whatever.
Do you think there's anything about the Rangers that would surprise someone who has not served in the military?
I don't know. Like, you know, they kind of fit a lot of the stereotypes pretty well.
Yeah.
But then I think there's a high level of intelligence, too, with a lot of the guys. Like, it's not a, like, raw, like, you know, kind of, like, meathead environment. Like, I think a lot of people get the impression that... it is, it's not. Like, they're, for the most part, highly intelligent people. So the difference, right? So one of the really interesting things, especially like the enlisted guys are just fucking animals and like badass, you know, not saying that in a derogatory way.
Yeah.
So like the enlisted guys are almost like kind of sick people in a sense. Like, if they weren't intelligent, they'd be in prison for like violent crime. You know what I mean? It's like people with that kind of like, there's that part of them that like can do really crazy bad shit to other people. So when you take intelligence away from that, those are the people that are on like death row in our society. Right. But when you add intelligence to it, you get a special operations world, I think. You know, with all your kind of storied units, whether it's Green Berets or it's the Rangers or it's the SEALs.
Yeah.
So I think it's a kind of interesting thing, you know. It's really cool story. Or, you know, interesting people to get to know. So
So after your first 4 months in Iraq, what was next for you?
I went back to Iraq again. I came home and, like, trained for a while and then went back to Iraq.
Well, you trained for a while? Well, what did you do when you trained?
A bunch of different stuff. I mean, you know, we do kind of the traditional, like, ranger missions, like airfield seizure stuff, like, you know, jumping out of the airplanes and taking down, like, an airfield. And that's a traditional, like, kind of invading a country mission, you know. So we did that in Iraq and Afghanistan in the early phases of the war. We did it in like Grenada, you know, Panama. Yeah, just a lot of different training. Cool stuff though. You know?
Yeah.
Like fun stuff, like fast rope and out of helicopters and like shooting and all that stuff. It was cool, it was fun.
Yeah. So how many times did you go to Iraq and then come back and then go to Iraq again?
Well, just twice.
Just twice?
Yeah. I went twice. Two pretty short, you know, tours.
So after your two tours in Iraq, where was the next stop for you in the military?
Back to Afghanistan. Yeah.
And where did you go in Afghanistan? I'm sorry.
Oh, well, the same kind of general area, eastern Afghanistan.
Question. Oh, so when you went back, you went to the similar area.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the same or different, or what was the experience?
Yeah, like there was still the same issues going on. You know, it was a little, you know, like kind of disheartening to see. You know, because you're like, ooh, we haven't come very far. This is pretty much they're fighting the same fight we did. It's obvious there hasn't been a lot of progress. You know, and that's not. I'm not pointing a finger at the guys that were after us, you know, or us. It's just the way it was. I think it was a tall order, and it was not real realistic what we were trying to do. So
was it kind of just like a bunch of random firefights around the mountains? Or
yeah, pretty much. I mean, they weren't random,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. But
yeah, but yeah, just pretty much just there's a shooting kind of at all times if you take a big enough area. There's somebody shooting at all times in that area.
Okay.
So yeah, it was pretty much the same shit. That was I was like, dude, Afghanistan's fucked, you know.
So was the danger level in Afghanistan a lot higher than Iraq then?
Mm. Yeah, to me it was.
To you?
To me, yeah. So, you know, from being in the Korangal, which is an area I think that's I think it accounted for like 80 or 90% of like the ordnance and like bombs and artillery in the entire country was shot in the Korangal Valley.
Wow.
At the kind of height of that valley being bad, you know.
Yeah.
It was like it was like almost, and that's a small valley. I mean, it's like maybe 5 or 8 square miles or something, you know. It's a pretty small area. So
do you think, you know, the idea, you said the Afghanistan was, you know, very different. Do you think that other people shared in your unit or in the army shared the idea that, like, oh my God, Afghanistan is, I don't want to say hopeless, but was just different than Iraq in that way? Like, your chances were different?
Yeah. No, I think so. Yeah, I mean, most people, and that's where, you know, I'm not the only guy that had multiple deployments. I think most people kind of felt a similar way. I mean, Iraq, you know, and that's kind of a I mean, that's pretty obvious, even for somebody watching the news now, is that Iraq pretty much sorted itself out and worked, ended pretty well. Whereas Afghanistan, you know, is still kind of, and always will be, pretty crazy. Yeah. And on the, and that's my interpretation, too, is more of a Western interpretation of the country. I'm saying it's fucked up, but to them it's fine. You know, it's a tribal society. All the tribes don't like each other for the most part. There's no, like, nation-state kind of mentality in the people's heads.
Yeah, and that's there's no just, one to just take control.
And that's not, yeah, that's not how they roll. You know, like, that's not their whole culture and their values and all that stuff. It's just that you can't speed them through centuries of social progress, you know, with, you know, a few thousand troops and you know, you just can't do it, you know, so...
So after your return to Afghanistan, how long were you in Afghanistan in the valley?
Oh, the next time I went back, yeah, it was another like 4 month kind of tour. Yeah.
So what did you end? What did you end the army with? What rank or what or whatever?
Captain.
Captain, mm-hmm. which is.
It's like an O3.
Three.
Yeah.
Okay, so did you have control of more men than when you started, or
different
duties, and how did they differ if you had different duties?
Yeah, it was more guys. You're in charge of more guys.
So did you have, like 3 or 4 platoon leaders or something that you had control over?
Yeah, essentially. That was... So I didn't go all the way to company command, right? So, like, I got out before I went back to... So you have to go to school, and then you're a company commander. So I got out before that. So, and I ended up with kind of the last kind of position I went into was I was in charge of, it was about 75 guys. And then when we were not in combat, I was like the executive officer for the company. So it was, the company was about 200 guys. So I was like second in command of the company, you know, and the first in command was a senior major, which in the Ranger battalions, every kind of position is the normal rank you would have for it is kind of like one higher, you know? So typically in the normal army, a company commander is going to be a captain, but in the Rangers, a lot of times it's a major, you know? So the same thing. So that's why I was, you know.
So how long were you in active duty?
Five years or so. Yeah. About a little over 5 years. And then I was like National Guard for a while. So, a couple of years of National Guard.
We can go back for a second. I'd like to ask you a couple questions of your first Afghanistan tour, where you said you were in control of 30 Afghanistan soldiers as well. I was just wondering, like, how much actual control did you have over them, and how did they speak any English? Like, how were you able to communicate with them? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, you had interpreters. You know, like you'd have an interpreter that...
So you just tell the interpreter, like, something, which you want them to do.
Yeah, and he'd go tell them, And then, you know, a lot of it's like you... I picked up basic Pashto, you know, like the language they would speak.
Yeah.
And they knew enough English to where there's, you know, kind of a lot of normal kind of day-to-day things that you could communicate pretty easily, you know. And then a lot of times military stuff, you know, army stuff, like on the tactical side is... pretty straightforward. Yeah. I mean, you could draw in the dirt half the time and just be like, hey, you guys go left, we're going right, you know, and work itself out. So, you know, and they, I mean, they generally listened. I mean, not that I was like, you must listen to me. You know, we were kind of like cooperating. I mean, it was, they weren't technically like under our command, but for all intents and purposes, they were. They generally responded pretty well. I mean, we certainly had issues with them. Like, there was a few missions where they just fucking peaced out and left.
Really?
And we're like, fuck this. We don't want to do this anymore. So there was issues like that. But if you look at the whole situation and the fact that they don't really get paid and, you know, they're not really that well trained. And, you know, there was a lot of problems, you know, to where if you look at it from their side, you're like, yeah, I can see why you'd leave.
Were those soldiers from the area you were in?
No, not really, no.
So, were they armed just like you guys, or were they same kind of
weapons? Not the exact same weapons. They had the at that point in time, like all the Soviet weapons, so the AK, the PKM machine guns, RPGs, all that stuff.
So were they insightful, helpful to you guys, like in actual finding Afghanis that were your targets, or
No, they come up with stuff. I mean, they, you know, a lot of times they'll, like I said, we were like kind of the outsiders. So there's a lot of people who are hesitant. You know, they don't, you know, person X doesn't like, you know, he knows the Taliban are all rolling around and he doesn't like them for whatever reason. He has some grudge against them. He can't come to us, you know, because there's religious things, you know, where we're the infidels and all that bullshit. And, you know, but he can go to the Afghan guy, you know, and that's not really that bad in terms of their value system, I think, you know. So they're, I mean, they're generally, I think, pretty helpful. And people would come to them and talk to them and tell them what's up. You know, the intel a lot of times would go to those guys before it would, you know, they wouldn't come straight to us.
So did they help with, like, the hearts and the mind type objective allotment?
Yeah, they did. I think so. They did. But they were generally, again, like, the society's, like, way different. So the idea of, like, our idea of corruption, you know, is, like, we're, like, pretty straight shooters, you know? Like, you know, if you hand me $50,000 in cash and say, you know, take it to this village and, like, figure out how you can make the village better with that $50,000 in cash, like, I'll put power lines in and running water and do nice stuff for them. You know, and that's what we did, you know. But if you gave $50,000 in cash to an Afghan soldier and told him, okay, I trust you, go spend it in that village, I doubt a single dollar would be, you know. And that's, to us, that's like corruption and that's dishonest and shit like that. But to them, that's...
Ooh, money.
Yeah, it's just different, man. That's just not how it works.
When you were in Afghanistan or Iraq, did you have... a lot of interaction or cooperation with other branches of the U.S. military?
Yeah. Well, when I was in the Rangers, I did. We cooperated. We worked a lot with, you know, different units. We worked a lot with the Air Force and the SEALs and stuff like that. So, yeah. Don't like the SEALs much.
Well, why is that?
It's kind of like a Hollywood attitude, you know? I have a Hollywood attitude in the SEAL community.
What do you mean by a Hollywood attitude?
Like,
kind of like we're better than everyone else type.
Yeah, like we're awesome, you know? Like, so you would have you know, they'd have like real long, like blonde hair, you know? They were in like tank tops and they'd always be like tanning and shit, like, you know? I'm like overdoing it a little bit, right. But, you know, that was kind of like, you know, that was a big, like, point of distinction, you know, was they were a little more Hollywood than we were, you know. Their situation was a little different too, though, because, you know, even in the Rangers, you have young, real young soldiers, you know, and they've been trained at a much higher level, and they've gone through very rigorous kind of selection stuff. But at the end of the day, they're still, like, there's a lot of kids that are 19 and 20 years old.
In the Rangers?
Yeah.
And it's different in the SEALs?
In the SEALs, there's typically a lot older. Everybody's like a lot older, so there's definitely young guys, but probably not nearly as many. And then the SEAL units are a lot smaller too, so they'll just be like, you know, like 20 dudes, right? And then where we would, like, a full-on Ranger platoon would be like 45 or 50 dudes, like full strength with attachments and stuff like that. So just from a manpower standpoint, you know, you have a lot of younger guys in the Ranger platoons, and you also have a lot more. You know, you have to be a little more, like, hard with people because there is a lot of fucking shit going on all the time. There's a lot of dudes. Whereas the SEALs, it's a smaller group, and they tend to be a little bit older, too. So, like, you know, again, you can do a little more of the big boy rule stuff. The big boy rules, like, kind of works out, you know? You don't have to babysit as much. But 19-year-old kids, no matter how awesome they are, you know, you're always going to have issues.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're always going to have problems. So... some of them were, like, in high school, you know, a year before or 2 years before. They were in fucking high school. Wow. Like, just, like, finger-banging chicks and, like, doing crazy shit, you know, like, drinking and driving.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're, like, you know, on a squad automatic weapon, like on a really super high profile mission chasing, you know, the top tier of Al Qaeda, you know, and we're asking them to make like big, big decisions, you know, in a quick, very quick time frame. And that's a pretty, it's a lot to ask of somebody, you know.
When you were in the Rangers, what, how old were you? Around
25 to 28, somewhere in there.
Do you feel like you were one of the older people in the group, in the units, or maybe?
In between? Yeah, I was kind of like right in the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the officers were about my age in terms of my
right.
The first and second lieutenants and the captain, the really young captains are all. And then again, like, you know, you have a lot of your enlisted guys, your young enlisted guys are going to be 19, 20. The NCOs, the senior sergeants, you know, they're going to be usually your oldest guys, you know, so.
So after going back to Afghanistan, when was your last deployment to either Iraq or Afghanistan?
My last deployment was in 2009.
2009.
Yeah, toward the end of 2009.
And where was it?
Afghanistan, yeah.
And at
Eastern.
At that point, how many times in Afghanistan was that for you?
Those two.
Okay.
So two to Iraq and two to Afghanistan.
Okay. And so you obviously didn't decide to continue.
Uh-huh.
What made you decide not to continue?
It was from being deployed too much.
Just done,
like,
with it.
Yeah, I was just fucking, my wife was like, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, I got wounded too, and like my wife was like, what the fuck, you know, like this shit isn't cool.
Ooh.
And I was like, yeah, you're right. So, I was like, dude, yeah, that's, if I keep doing this, I'll either get broke or get shot. Like, get broke, like, you know.
Yeah.
You can only, you know, you jump out of plane enough, like, you know, we do like parachute stuff all the time. And then just like mission shit, like you're jumping over fences and, you know,
yeah,
you just fuck yourself up, you know, like jumping off the top of a Striker, you know, which is like, I don't know, it's like 10 feet off the ground, like onto pavement. And so that's what I mean by get broke,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like you break your body or you get fucking capped, you know, you get shot eventually.
What's a Striker?
Oh, it's like an armored vehicle, but it's a lot more like souped up than like a Humvee, you know. It's more of a bigger vehicle than a Humvee, but it's not like a tank, which is a little more slow and cumbersome.
Wheels, right?
Yeah, it's got like
armored wheels.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's got 8 wheels, and they're fast as shit, which is cool. So we like blow around those things in like Baghdad, like 2 o'clock in the morning, going like 60. So that's like a cool thing about being. It is a cool thing about being deployed, I think, in another country, is like, you're always operating under like rules and laws, you know, like you're never just gonna go out there and just do whatever the fuck you feel like,
right?
But like the normal rules that you're used to in society, you're not under anymore, you know. So it's like you can drive around and be like, you're not gonna get a traffic ticket, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so like that's kind of cool.
Ask questions with all the guns you
have. yeah. So, you know, that's kind of it's one of the small perks, you know.
So when did you leave the service?
In 2010. I don't remember what month.
Yes.
Yeah. I was like in for a little over 5 years, so.
Okay. I have a question. So did you how often of contact did you have with other officers or higher ranking officers? Or not much, or?
Oh, that's a big question. So, you know, when I was in Afghanistan, in the Korangal, right, when I was in the conventional army, we were really out there on our own. So face-to-face contact, I mean, very rare, you know? Everybody was, like, kind of spread out in the mountains and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I barely ever, I mean, had face-to-face contact. But then when I was in the Rangers, you had a lot of contact because you were, you know, you go out and do your missions, but then, you know, you're always kind of, like, coming back to your base, you know? And usually your commander would be there. So it just kind of depended, you know, because there was one deployment, I guess, where me and my commander went to two different countries. So I was kind of the adult for my last deployment.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, I was the adult.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's just like, there's varied quite a bit.
some more final questions. Is there anything about your experience in the service in general that really surprised you that you were not expecting?
I don't know.
Was there anything that just stuck out to you, like any single experience or that you'd like to get on the record? Sorry to ask such a broad question.
Yeah, that's a big one, man. Gotta tighten, yeah, bring that one in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got one. Okay. So I got wounded, and I got medevaced to Germany, right? Because Germany's where, like, the big kind of, like, healthcare kind of stuff is, like, the major hospital infrastructure for that, for those theaters, right? So, like, there's good hospitals in Afghanistan and in Iraq, but if you, you know, if you get really fucked up or whatever, there's certain issues. Like, I didn't get, like, catastrophically wounded or anything, but, like, there's certain issues that they'll fly you out to Germany for. So I was in Germany, like, I was in the Korngal, and I was in the mountains, and, like, it was crazy shit, like, had been just off the grid, like, out in the woods for a very long time, and then very, very quickly, dude, like, faster than your mind can really process it, I was in Germany, and, like, it was, like, oh, Europe, you know, and it was safe, and, like, it was, everything was green and shit. Anyway, so we were in the wounded barracks, and I don't give a fuck about Cher. You guys know who Cher is?
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about Cher. But Cher came to, like, the wounded barracks.
What?
And I, like, Cher? Met Cher, yeah. Wow. I met Cher, and I was, like, completely starstruck.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, fucking Cher. And, like, again, like, I could care less. And I could care less about celebrities, but, I mean, it was just, it was all so crazy that, you know, the whole thing, like, just of where I had been just, you know, right before. The whole thing was just too, like, your mind couldn't even really, like, process it, you know? You're like, you know, I was getting shot the fuck up, like, you know, 48 hours ago, and now here I am. I'm fucking talking to Cher in Germany, and the World Cup's going on.
Oh, wow. Man, that's awesome.
5 miles away.
Just a huge culture shock suddenly.
Yeah, it is, man. And, not, you know, it's everything, like, all just complete sensory overload. So that was kind of interesting. And then I went back.
How long were you in Germany for?
Like 2 weeks. It wasn't very long. Yeah. It was like, I didn't get like fucked up. Like, some guys really earn their Purple Heart, right? Like, I didn't earn it that way. Like, I didn't fucking lose a leg or anything, you know? So, I had, some of the wounds got infected. Like, I got, like, shrapnel wounds from RPG. You know, you guys, you know, RPG is like the shoulder fire, rocket propel grenade. And the wounds got infected, and my eardrum was, like, annihilated. It was, like, gone. So there was some shit they had to, like... that's why I had to go to Germany. But I wasn't there for very long.
Where'd you go after Germany? Did you go back to Afghanistan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much longer was your... that was your last tour, right?
No, that was my first tour.
That was your first tour.
And that was, like, halfway... That was, like, halfway through. Damn. Yeah, that was halfway through. I had a lot of different mindset after that. Like I said, nobody got killed when I was... really in control, and I think that it was actually good for me to get, like, wounded early, because I didn't have that, like, invincible kind of, like, heroic kind of attitude that a lot of, like, young guys do have, I think, when they go to fight, you know. It's like, it's kind of like it's a movie or it's a video game, and so to have it, like, pow, like, to get, have it be real like that, I think made me, like, a lot smarter, you know,
and that's, game
yeah, it made me smarter, you know, it made me, like, a little more, like, to calculate, you know, things, and to be a little more, like, risk adverse, and be like, wait a second, you know, there's an easier way to do that, you know, or, you know, there's a safer way to do that, and in the end, I think that's why, you know, our platoon ended up with a relatively low casualty rate, because I got wounded, and I, like, learned a fucking lesson, you know, don't be a fucking hero, and don't be an asshole with your dudes, and, like charge uphill into machine gun fire across the open. Don't do that. It's a bad idea. That's not how I got wounded, but
yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about? Any final words? Anything you'd want people in 50 years to know?
No. Mm-hmm. Not really. Yeah. There's just one thing I was thinking about, and that's, I don't know how much, I don't know if I dropped any like details that I shouldn't have on like the where I was in the Rangers and stuff. Like, I think I kept it pretty vague.
Absolutely.
But I would prefer that the location, when you're asking me about locations when I was in the Rangers,
yeah,
I'd like to make sure that's not, it's not in there. Because I don't know.
So just absolutely. Kind of like you were in a valley in Afghanistan.
No. Well, Iraq, I don't know what kind of specific stuff I was giving you about Iraq.
Not really. Okay. I think you just pretty much told us that you were around Baghdad.
Yeah.
And okay. if there's anything, we can take it out.
Okay. Obviously, you'll get a copy of the script and
before it gets.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we'll give you a copy okay. to make sure there's nothing.
Okay, cool. All right. So that's where, all right.
Yeah.
Make sure I get that before that. Because okay. some of that, I was like, wait a second. Yeah. I like, I mean, unless that shit doesn't matter. What really matters is, like, some of the really sensitive, like, intel, like, how we actually collect on people. But still, I'm saying we can release this now. So I would just make sure on the safe side.
All right. Thank you.
Cool, man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.